From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, April 11th, 2018. And on this day, retail recreational marijuana one step closer to reality in Maine. And more political heavy hitters step into the fray on the effort to recall Waterville's mayor. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you. And by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
There's a new development in the saga over Maine's landmark ranked choice voting law. Superior Court Judge Michaela Murphy is recommending that the Maine Supreme Judicial Court review whether state election officials have the authority to implement the system for the June primaries. Murphy's decision effectively puts that question to the same seven judges who last year determined that key parts of the law are unconstitutional. Steve Missler has more.
Murphy's recommendation follows her ruling last week that the state should go forward with implementing ranked choice voting in the June primary. But at the same time as that ruling, Murphy also indicated that issues raised in a separate injunction by Maine Senate Republicans are serious enough to be considered by the state's highest court. Her decision Wednesday to recommend those questions to the law court effectively certify those concerns. It also boomerangs the dispute over ranked choice back to the same justices who touched off a year of legal and political wrangling that's clouded the law's future. Murphy says she hopes the high court will act quickly.
I know you all share the court's view that we owe the people of Maine as much certainty as we can provide as they go to the polls on June 12th.
The Supreme Court will be asked to address seven questions raised by attorneys representing Senate Republicans. Attorney Tim Woodcock, who is representing the Senate GOP, says most deal with the separation of powers between the legislature and the Secretary of State. And those issues, he argues, give the Senate standing to claim damages in court.
We would argue that we have because there's an invasion of the powers of the legislature in the appropriations and statutory process.
By appropriations, Woodcock means the Secretary of State's ability to spend money to implement the law. The legislature has never granted election officials specific authority to do that, so Woodcock says it's not allowed. And the Senate Republicans are also challenging election officials' authority to perform certain tasks if an election is held, such as collecting ballots from Maine's nearly 500 municipalities in the event that ranked choice runoff tabulation is needed to declare a majority winner. But Attorney James Monteleone, representing ranked choice voting advocates, says Senate Republicans don't have standing to claim damages.
We believe that the Senate as a single chamber and a bicameral legislative body doesn't have standing to bring claims related to the balance of powers. And I think it's the case law would indicate that's a position that's been held elsewhere.
It will now be up to the Maine Supreme Court to decide that question and determine whether the state should continue implementation of ranked choice voting. But the court could also decide to kick the issue back to Superior Court. Either way, Attorney Woodcock is hopeful that the high court will move quickly in a case that's unfolding at what seems like an unprecedented speed.
I have never seen timing on this accelerated schedule in my entire professional career, and I never expect to see it again.
Meanwhile, state election officials are continuing plans for a ranked choice voting election, the first of its kind in the country. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The legal sale of recreational marijuana is one step closer to reality in Maine, as the state Senate today gave its approval to legislation that establishes a regulatory framework for sales. Mal Leary has that story.
The first attempt to set up a marketplace under legislation approved by the voters 2 years ago failed to overcome a veto by Governor Paul LePage last fall. Republican Senator Roger Cates of Augusta, who co-chaired the committee that drafted the legislation, welcome Wednesday's Senate vote of 24-10 in favor.
To quote the Grateful Dead, what a long, strange trip this has been over now 16 months of this legislature. It starts with the passage of the citizens' referendum in 2016.
The House also supported this new proposal by a significant vote of 112-34, enough to override another possible veto. but opposition to the bill is expected from Republicans. GOP Senator Scott Searway of Benton says the federal government sees marijuana in the same light as heroin and fentanyl, and that the legislation does not go far enough to assure public safety.
What are we doing here? I am just appalled at how this is going down. I am voting no for every marijuana piece here.
The governor's office says he has not taken a position on this legislation. Several previous bills in the past have received two-thirds margins on initial passage, but failed to garner the votes to override a LePage veto. Supporters say there are several changes made in an attempt to win LePage's support, including the removal of a provision that would have shared tax revenue from cannabis sales with cities and towns. And there are other changes to the marijuana law that Maine voters ratified in 2016. The new version keeps the 10% retail sales tax, but adds an excise tax on wholesale transactions. It also cuts in half the number of flowering plants allowed for personal use, from 6 plants to 3. The measure faces further votes in both the House and Senate. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
In Washington today, a Senate committee explored ways to better deal with opioid addiction. Maine Senator Susan Collins questioned witness Jessica Halsey-Nickel, president of the Addiction Policy Forum in Washington, about the value of peer-to-peer recovery groups.
Have you seen peer-to-peer groups make recovery more sustainable? Do you have any advice for us on that approach?
Yeah, absolutely. Peer recovery support specialists are a key component to making sure we provide the services that are needed for folks that are in recovery or those that need treatment.
Collins says she's also sponsoring legislation that would allow hospice workers to recover unused pain medications after a patient has died. Collins says the current law bars that, leaving drugs ripe for diversion or abuse. What's believed to be Maine's first tiny home subdivision moved a little bit closer to being built last night after the Swanville Planning Board gave final approval to a proposal to initially build half a dozen of the 440-square-foot structures on a 50-acre parcel on the Oak Hill Road. Derek Davis of Thorndike and Chad Tozier of Unity have formed a partnership to market the homes. They're being constructed by the Amish-owned Backyard Buildings of Unity. Davis says the next challenge for the project will be connecting the tiny homes with renters or buyers.
It's quite a learning experience, you know, trying to figure out who might want to do this. And we're still testing the waters. We don't know how big this could be or, you know, how not so big it could be, you know. So we're just taking a chance and seeing what we can do.
Davis said the homes will be heated and cooled with heat pumps and could be offered to buyers for less than $100,000. Waterville Mayor Nick Iskro made his first public appearance at a city council budget workshop last night, one day after several residents began a recall effort against him and after he resigned under pressure from his position as vice president at Skowhegan Savings Bank. And now, as Susan Sharon reports, Republican Governor Paul LePage, a former Waterville mayor himself, is weighing in on his behalf.
Mayor Iskro has been under fire for a recent tweet mocking Parkland school shooting survivor David Hawk. He also has a history of making anti-immigrant and other inflammatory social media posts. Speaking briefly with reporters before and after the workshop Tuesday night, Iskro called reports about him fake news. He also had plenty of blame for the public backlash he is facing.
This is about the people of Waterville, and we have a absolutely non-respondent elitist majority on the city council. We have well-moneyed groups like the Maine People's Alliance who aren't in Waterville, and their friends like Karen Heck and the Democrats. And the reality is, if you look at what's out there, the majority of the people of Waterville support me, and I've always had their back. I'm going to continue to have their back.
Iskro declined to say what he thought was fake news, nor would he discuss any of his social media posts. Meanwhile, Governor Paul LePage has come to Iskro's defense. The Waterville Sentinel reports that LePage confirmed he sent a letter to Skowhegan Savings Bank this week saying, quote, "Your decision to discharge Nick Isgro is a mistake you will likely come to regret." He went on to accuse the bank of falling prey to what he called leftist hate ideology that refuses to recognize free speech. Former Republican Party Chair Rick Bennett also criticized the bank during a discussion on WGAN radio in Portland on Tuesday.
When does a business decide that they're going to absorb the responsibility for policing the thoughts of their employees after hours?
Bennett said Isgro's comments weren't made on behalf of the bank and that Isgro is only in trouble because he's the mayor of Waterville. In an email, Bank President John Witherspoon said it was Isgro's decision to leave his position as vice president and controller. And because his departure is a personnel matter, Witherspoon said he could not comment further. Supporters of the recall effort have until May 1st to gather more than 857 signatures to force a vote on the mayor's future. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, April 11th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.